Good evening and welcome to another episode of Inside the FLX. I'm Josh Durso and we are coming to you from the FingerLakes1.com studio in downtown Seneca Falls. We have an exciting show today as the two newest members of the Seneca Falls Town Board join us in studio to talk politics and much more. Annette Lutz and Mary Ceratori, welcome to the show and thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
So, obviously you guys are the newest members to the board, having served a little over a month or maybe a month and a half or 2 months at this point. Tell us a little bit about yourselves and sort of how you got your foot in the whole political space.
Who do you want to
start? Either
start?
One of you can start first.
Start with A, you can go first.
Okay. Well, a little bit about myself. I was born and raised in Auburn. When I got out of high school, I joined the service, traveled around for 10 years, came back to this area because I love it so much. Met my husband, moved to Seneca Falls in 1996. We raised four children here. And as I watch Seneca Falls since 1996, I've watched it grow. And I've watched businesses come and go. And businesses come and grow. And I just love the town. Mm-hmm. So I just, and I'm a very vocal person about the environment and just seeing our town revitalized. So when the opportunity came about to get on the board, I jumped at it.
So I was born in Geneva, mm-hmm. and then my parents, we moved out to the country. So I graduated from Marcus Whitman in 98. Mm-hmm. Then I did an undergrad in Pennsylvania. So I lived there for 4 years. Came back up here because I loved the Finger Lakes area. I think when you're away from it, you realize what you're missing. And when you live here, you often take it for granted. So I moved back home, met my husband, and moved here in 2004. Mm-hmm. And we have a four-year-old. And mm-hmm. I think and I went to the chiropractic college too, so I have a degree, two master's degrees in oriental medicine and in acupuncture. I think that I see where this town could be. They laugh at me when I was talking to the board because I used the bones of this town as a kid that went to the chiropractic mm-hmm. college. I find that this town has such amazing people, such mm-hmm. amazing an environment too. I think that the resources here are huge, that I think I wanted to join the board because as a 36-year-old, we have such an amazing group of people my age that are really involved, but there's really no one on the board that speaks for us. So being a 36-year-old, young family, a woman, I thought, what better way to make my generation and my type of young family here but to join the board and make sure that young families in this community are also have a voice.
Now, were there any reservations along the way? Because it is a very polarizing time in the political space in this area. Now, for either one of you, were there any reservations along the way, or was this something that was just like, I have to do this, and I'm going to do this?
For me, it was this, when I heard that two board members resigned, I said to my husband, I want to get in on there. I want to try to make a difference for our town.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think I was that same way. Like I said, I'm pretty passionate about, I've always grown up with politics. My father was a pretty historical, political kind of buff, so I mm-hmm. kind of grew up with that. So to me, I thought, I've always really been interested in politics, mm-hmm. And I thought that there needed to be, like I said, a better representation of my generation. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really think for too long. I did talk it over with my family, my husband, to make sure that we're a good team. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make sure that, I wasn't going out and being the I in team. I wanted to make sure that he thought that it would work best for our family. And he was like, definitely make a difference, do something.
Now, I have found this very fascinating because we've been covering the board meetings and leading up to right up until the meeting you were actually named to the board, you were a speaker at every single board meeting practically. And
right.
What was that transition sort of, or maybe it created less of a difficult transition from A to B? What was it like going from public speaker to public servant?
Well, that's a good question. You know, when you sit in that audience at the town board meeting and you sit and you, I would sit and think, do they even know what they're looking at? Do they know what's getting presented to them? Why are they voting on that when there's all these other questions that should be asked? And you really, you know, you really get agitated. Mm-hmm. And I would be in the audience and say, what are they doing? Why are they just sitting there? Why aren't they talking back to these people? Or to me, you know, when I was speaking to them. Mm-hmm. And now that we're on the other side, I have such a great respect for anybody who sits on any type of board. Mm-hmm. Because it is. The first meeting that we officially were at, we went down and picked up our packets mm-hmm. on a Monday afternoon, and they were probably about 3 inches thick. And we had to read through everything, come up with questions, call the people who we had questions with, make decisions on what we wanted, you know, whether we wanted to vote for something or get more information, and have all that done by Tuesday night. So Monday, when I brought my packet home, I was up until probably 1 a.m. just trying to sort through everything. But as an audience member, you don't realize that. Yeah. You don't realize all the work that is behind that 2-hour meeting.
Mm-hmm. Now, you brought up something, Mary, that I think is pretty worthwhile. You're talking about the age of involvement, mm-hmm. The whole youth push to get more young people involved in politics. Talk to us a little bit more about what your sort of vision is for getting more young people involved in politics, or at the very least, more observant.
Yeah, I think that it's not so much getting them involved in politics. I think it's important to be involved in your community. And if that mm-hmm. is politics, then that's good. But I think it's more to get younger people involved in our community. We have an amazing, and that has younger kids that are mm-hmm. still kind of on the older spectrum, right?
Right.
But I think getting those kids, high schoolers involved, people that are in their 20s involved, to be able to want to be proud of where they live and to come back to the community, and like we were chatting a little bit earlier, to make sure that they have a choice to be able to come back here. I think mm-hmm. that so many times these 20-year-olds, they, you know, I was one of them. I graduated from college, came back with a bachelor's in psychology, and was like, what do I do in the Finger Lakes with this degree? I did something completely. I taught a little bit because I had an education degree as well, but I think that we have to make sure that we're a strong community where people have an option to stay. They have an option to go if they want to. But I think so often we're just kind of people, younger people are forced out of their community with lack of a job or places to stay. Family moves, we move. It's not so much getting younger people involved in politics. I think it's more so the push to make sure that we get younger people involved in their community. Mm-hmm. And I think we have a lot of younger people involved in our community. We have a great music group of people, mm-hmm. I know. There's a really great environmental group. And I think that that's our strongest suit. Our younger generation, I have a 4-year-old, you know, he knows how to use my phone better than I do sometimes, but I think that getting this generation involved and wanting to make a town that they're going to get proud of 20 years from now, mm-hmm. when Grayson's 24, I want him to be like, I am from Seneca Falls. I'm from where the women's rights started. We have an amazing downtown. That's just mm-hmm. what I think we need to start working towards. Mm-hmm. Those are the things, you know, be proud of where you're from. And this isn't just a Seneca Falls issue. It's a complete small town issue everywhere.
Yeah.
We need to make us proud of where we live.
Now, just about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, you guys had a community forum, which that the whole point of that was to get more people engaged and sort of clear the air, so to speak, mm-hmm. or ask questions. Annette, what do you think, what were some of the bigger takeaways from your perspective from the community forum? Obviously, it was a success, right, in both of your estimations?
Yeah.
Yes. For the first one, I thought it was a very good success. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of people get up and speak. I like the fact that it was interactive. Mm-hmm. So if you were speaking and you had a question, one of us could actually talk back. I hated the board meetings that people are talking to us and I almost feel like we're not allowed to speak.
Yeah.
So I like that we had that interaction with people. I am hoping that we do it. I think Greg had said maybe
in June.
Yeah, so maybe once a quarter or something. Mm-hmm. But and I know at this meeting the landfill was a big issue, big mm-hmm. issue. But there's so many other things in Seneca Falls to talk about, and I hope that it evolves into, you know, how do we revitalize downtown? What can we do on the canal to spruce it up, fix it up? How do we get businesses to come here? Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that it becomes a dialogue back and forth with the community members and the board so that we know what everybody wants and we push for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that, one of the interesting topics that came up during that meeting, and this is directed at for both of you, recycling was one of the topics that I found really intriguing because there were some different ideas thrown out there as to how to handle it, because it's one of those things, right, that everyone, it's a good idea, but how to implement it is something that people kind of get lost trying to figure out. Now, how did you guys feel about some of the different ideas? If you want to talk about any of the ideas that stood out to either one of you, by all means. But what did you think of the ideas as a whole as they got thrown out?
I think I like the idea of having larger bins, because I think that that's also, it's difficult for people when they have to carry, you know, like five things out. What's interesting about recycling and composting is that there's so many different factions that are involved in it. You know, we put our recycling to the curb and then we forget of everything that has to happen to take care of that recycling.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Currently, there is gas prices are low. That's mm-hmm. awesome, right? But it also drives the market value of recycling up. So it costs us more to recycle when the gas prices are low. And so we really have to be smart in what we choose to do and what we choose not to do. Mm-hmm. I think that although people are really excited about maybe, you know, making people have a fine for not recycling, I don't think that we can do that to people. You can't make people pay more if they're not educated even on how to do it. So I think the first thing that we really need to do, and I thought was great, and I believe it's what Barb Reese had talked about because she does things with schools, is to educate people that want to learn about recycling and maybe talking to some of the local businesses about biodegradable materials. Start very, very small and cost-effectively as well. I'm a huge proponent of the environment, but I think we also have to be very, very smart in what we do so that we're not incurring costs on people that live here either. And I think the easiest way to do that is to educate. If we have kids, we talked about getting kids involved. If we had some of the high school kids that are very involved in environmental studies and they have a composting and recycling group, if they got together and did a forum or invited smaller districts of people in Seneca Falls to learn more about recycling and composting and using just easy fix, like using biodegradable things instead of using styrofoam. All these just small, small things make a huge, huge difference in everything. I had mentioned at the forum, you know, Seneca Falls is a great example of how small movements can become large national events.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you have to take that into account when you're thinking of things like recycling too. Larger cities do mandate recycling and composting now. San Francisco is a great one. I believe Boulder, Colorado is another one. And so we can take from some of those and grab some ideas. And it's in the we're baby stepping really small right now. When I talk with there's a group of people now that we just got together last week to talk about, you know, how can we implement some zero waste things? I think we need to pick and choose what we do and choose smartly.
Yeah.
I think composting is it looks free, right? Because you use it in your garden.
Mm-hmm.
But an example of that is who's going to pick up the composting? Mm-hmm. Where is it going to go?
Yeah.
Who do we pay to do the composting?
Right.
So they're great ideas, and I think we can definitely expand on them. But it's not something that can be done overnight. We need a nice time period to really figure out here's what we're going to do. And people from the community are excited about that. That's going to get people involved. So it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as, Annette, again, both of you have experience in this, but I'll throw this one to Annette. Owning and running a small business, or any business for that matter, and then seeing the process play out on public policy and how you buy things or contract things or this, that, or the other thing. Mm-hmm. What has sort of been, for you, some of the things you've been thinking about as you've been rolling through these first couple months?
You mean as far as the town?
Yeah, as far operates? As when they, yeah, as far as yeah, because we're talking about essentially a town is a business in right. many ways. So I mean, what sort of applications are you kind of taking from one and applying to the other in terms of the town?
Okay. Well, I think that the running a business you're very mindful of the first thing that Bill and I are very mindful of is our budget. Mm-hmm. And I think when you are on a political board, mm-hmm. a lot of times things aren't more of the budget. They're more of the political stuff. Well, you know, you have to do it this way because you're a Democrat. You have to do it this way because you're a Republican. But I think my frustration actually being on this board is that there's so much red tape mm-hmm. to get through anything. Mm-hmm. One example is we have the dock down across from 10 Fall Street mm-hmm. that is in total disrepair. So we've been talking about it for a week or so. We went down and looked at it, and yesterday we were down there and came up with a solution. We had somebody who wanted to come and look at it, mm-hmm. and you know they said, well, we can do this to it and do see what repairs need to be made and move from there. So as a business owner, I would say, okay, let's move ahead with that. But on a town board or a city board or anything that's political, you have to get engineers involved and you have to take a vote on it and mm-hmm. So there's a lot of red tape that I feel slows down what we can accomplish mm-hmm. because there's all these steps you have to do. And with a business, you're there every day talking about things. With the town board, we meet once a month. Mm-hmm. So if something comes up, we have to email, we have to text, and three out of the five of us on the board are working mm-hmm. full time.
Yeah.
So we don't, you know, we're not available during the day a lot. So it's very hard because in a business, you're with that person every day, with that business every day, and you, mm-hmm. you know what's going on. And with the town board, you know, like I said, you meet once a month. And
technically, we can't actually be together all the time because of the way that the law works. You're only allowed, there can't be three of us in a room
right,
at one
right.
time.
Right, right. Oh, that's crazy.
So I think
crazy.
That also is kind of like, you know, people are like, why don't you guys just get together? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we can't. People
can't.
Don't know that unless you're, you know, you really know the law behind it, but
right.
you can't have more than a anybody that would vote on stuff. So like three of us can't get together and talk about something. So and then if we are, it has to be in an open meeting. So
right.
open meeting laws make it a little bit difficult. I can understand that process.
Now, has the you guys obviously you have to make more of an effort then, right, to actually be able to communicate
oh, sure.
more.
Yep.
I mean, you have to go out of your way at that point, correct? So I
sure.
mean. Is it something you feel it's improving? Like, is it something that can be built on to be better?
I think Greg is very big on trying to get mm-hmm. us together more, mm-hmm. Trying to be more open with what's going on, right? Wouldn't you
yeah.
say that?
I think that we're trying to make it so that we meet maybe more times for smaller periods, mm-hmm. but that everybody, we really do want to keep this community involved mm-hmm. as much as possible. I think transparency, you know, a person said to me the other day when we had that forum, he came up and he was like, you know, I like this board. This new board looks at us in the face and it's like they almost want to hear what we're saying. And mm-hmm. it's the first time that we felt this way in a really long time.
Yeah.
And that spoke to me because
yeah.
We work for the town. Mm-hmm. We're making decisions that I think of the town as a business, but I also think of it as a family, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want to make the best sound decision for your family.
Mm-hmm.
That may mean going out and getting five different quotes on a refrigerator because
mm-hmm.
you want to make sure that you have
right.
the best refrigerator and you're not costing your family a ton of money for a refrigerator. So I'm thinking of the docks like I would a refrigerator, right?
right?
I want to make sure that we're getting yeah. the best for our buck because I'm not buying docks for just the five of us, mm-hmm. I'm buying docks for 6,000 people that are the town of Seneca Falls.
Now, obviously, I would be completely foolish if I didn't ask you guys just one time, where do you guys feel the town is at with the entire landfill debate around Seneca Meadows? Do you feel like things are progressing the way you hoped they would when you took office? Are they moving a little slower than you were hoping, or where is that in terms of the expectation versus reality, I guess?
Oh, well, I think the board is moving along, mm-hmm. in a direction that I think we are looking out for the environment, mm-hmm. and for the health of our community. Mm-hmm. It does get frustrating at times, as I said, because there's mm-hmm. red tape. You have to talk to this person. You have to talk to lawyers, things mm-hmm. like that. But I do think we are making some great steps in getting our community to where they want to be.
Now, will either one of you be taking part in the walk that's going to be taking place up in Geneva this weekend?
I will be.
I had originally wanted to be, and then I scheduled myself. I have a person that I'm trying to get to open up a business in Seneca Falls. And so since Annette is going, I figured, hey, I have people that are going to be there for me, kind of tell me what's going on. But mm-hmm. I'm going to be meeting with a person to try to get a young business opening up in Seneca Falls.
I think everyone can excuse you for that.
Yeah,
for that
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
So what, both of you, before we get you out of here, what do you guys think is the single most important non-landfill related issue? Because obviously the landfill issues are the ones that are most heard about in Seneca Falls mm-hmm. right now, but like you both said, there are a lot of other issues. If you each had to pick one item or one thing, what would that thing be?
Mine would be to revitalize downtown,
mm-hmm.
because once you do that, once you make downtown, you put stores in there and you clean up the weeds and you make the trees in the front of the buildings and put flower pots out there and bring businesses in here, then you get people to come here and visit and spend their money mm-hmm. and maybe even think about moving here. So my biggest priority is the revitalizing downtown.
Mine kind of goes along with that. I'm thinking more economic development, which is part of revitalizing downtown. It's definitely a portion of that. Mm-hmm. But I think revitalizing our economy in general. I think mm-hmm. that when I, growing up in a small town, I came from a mom and dad, you know, I came from, my mother was a nurse. We mm-hmm. lived within our means. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is what frustrates people here the most. You know, I think when people hear about what we're doing, money is always, you don't want it to be, but it's always the bottom line.
Right. Yeah.
And I think I want to make sure that our economic development, and that's by bringing in new business, bringing in new people that might want to live here, making sure we have things on the tax roll, working with our non-for-profits that are in town to make sure that they're a strong core. I think mm-hmm. that's the biggest thing, to make sure that people in this town are comfortable and feel like their money is going towards, when they pay taxes, it's going towards something that's a bigger picture. And I think that's kind of that whole economic development, which includes a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Kind of an umbrella, sorry.
Well, that's perfectly fine. I appreciate you guys taking the time. Mm-hmm. Definitely will be having you back in the future. There's a lot more to talk about here in Seneca Falls. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for us today. I'd like to thank Mary and Annette for stopping by and wish them the best of luck with the remainder of their term. A reminder to our viewers, Inside the FLX airs Sundays at 7 p.m. on Time Warner Cable Channel 12. Also, don't forget to download the Finger Lakes One app for the latest news updates and podcasts. It's available on Apple and Android devices. For Annette Lutz and Mary Saratori, I'm Josh Durso, inviting you to join us next time on another episode of Inside the FLX.